This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Is it a Beastie Boys Friday around here?
It sure is.
It sure as hell is. You got a problem with that moon? An hour away from Craig Hoffman if he decides to show up.
Friday. He never shows up on Friday.
Anthony,
you know that.
Anthony Haney is giving mixed signals.
He's getting ready to throw that dodgeball at you through the glass.
Well, he's already tried to spear me with a golf club.
Well, you know, it's Friday.
And then he told me, you know, the key to tonight's game three for the Caps, you know what it is?
Score more goals than the other team?
No, it's Jean-François Garcin. Jean-François Garcin.
What does that mean?
In Montreal. That's what he told me. He said, I don't even know if he knows the services in Montreal tonight, but he said, wait, is Jean Carlson a defenseman? I can't hear you.
I don't know what's going on with the mics.
I can hear him sort of talking.
Chris?
Yes. There it is.
Yes. There we go.
Now I can hear you.
While you're laughing at me, would you like to tell everybody what position I thought you played when you played hockey?
Yes, you said because you're a rather rotund fellow.
No.
You should have been a goaltender.
Don't lie, Chris.
Don't lie. That's what you said.
That is not. I didn't give a reasoning. I guessed what position you played. I say goalie.
But you had no reason for that, right?
No real reason.
Besides you're the flexible, obvious fact, Chris, that you take up a lot of space, you big...
Chris, that could be Jean, from the Jean, truth, sir.
Jean Croissant?
I'm leaving.
Jean-François Croissant.
He's not on the clock yet. Leave
in
him alone.
Montreal. Anthony Haney. Ah, Haney in Montreal.
Oh, I love coming to work here.
I mean, if we're not busting chops.
What are we doing then?
What are we doing? What are we doing? Nobody can talk about John Connerly. What's his name? Josh Connerly.
Josh Connerly.
Yeah, Josh Connerly for possibly any more than we have. No, I mean, I'm sure
it's
we could.
It's hard to break down tackles, you
know?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm trying. But, you know, I mean.
But it's exciting. It's just not sexy.
I'm excited to have them. But, you know, I mean, we got to kind of like bounce all around. So we will do so, obviously, here in this final hour. So I wanted to start this hour with just kind of taking a look at the first round, you know, just as quickly as we can. Because I always think it's interesting to see what, of course, teams, you know, do and how people view and whatnot. And I guess we'll start in the NFC East, right? It was interesting that the Chiefs dropped back with the Eagles in a trade, one spot, right? You get your ass kicked by mm-hmm. them in the Super Bowl. And then you give them the player that presumably they thought, okay, well, they're not going to get an offensive lineman, even though you could make an argument that because Mekhi Becton left, all right, they're probably not going to get it. And maybe they got a level of assurance from Howie Roseman.
Yeah, and with Mike Green and Jahad Campbell there,
right.
Like that, those are Eagles picks.
Right.
And also, aside on Mike Green, if your off-the-field stuff is so bad that Howie Roseman is like, I'm good.
Yeah.
It's probably not great.
I wonder who's going to take Mike Green. Because I did two picks before the Commanders were on the clock. I said, hey, Mike Green is out there. I said, significant questions.
Oh, yeah.
But he's arguably the second best pass rusher in the draft. Now, everybody is going to read into that as, NFL teams discovered something new. I don't know if it's something new. What's that?
I think it's just maybe more details.
Well, maybe more details, but it also could be just, you know what? He had apparently an incident
in high school
and at Virginia.
When you were in college, which, yeah.
I understand the charges and all. I get that. Nobody is saying he's guilty. Nobody is saying that.
We're just noticing patterns.
But if you give a guy a lot of money, and therefore if he has some power, right, which money, first-round pick, what have you, gives you a feeling of power.
Mm-hmm.
Can you trust him? Can you trust him with all of the off time that NFL players get? Can you trust him on a Friday night in Philadelphia? Can you trust him at the hotel on a Saturday evening before team meetings? You know, can you do that? Can you trust him? Or is it not worth the headache? And I think for a lot of people, it was maybe there was more details, maybe there was more information that they uncovered, maybe, that hasn't exactly leaked out yet. Maybe it will, but maybe it won't. Maybe it was just, you know what? I got this guy. I really like him, but I can trust this guy. I feel like I can trust this guy. I don't have to worry as much about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Eagles, that was Jahad Campbell. Now, I know there are some people that don't like Jahad Campbell. I liked what I saw in terms of his communication skills. So we know they locked down Zach Bond. But remember, because N'Kobe Dean got hurt, he's going to be returning from a fairly significant injury.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it allows Jahad Campbell to just, and remember, Jahad Campbell's coming off an injury. Maybe it allows Jahad Campbell just to slow down, take a big time step back, maybe not play as much early on, and then be an impact once he gets comfortable with the scheme, with the system, with whatever they're doing. Now, I've heard, you know, people are not thrilled about him off the edge and all that, you know. Look, I'm not a scout. I just know what I saw on tape was he seemed to be a pretty darn good communicator in terms of shifts, adjustments, all that. And, you know, look, when you play again with Zach Bond, when you play with N'Kobe Dean, when you're in that system, when you have that defensive line, even though they don't have Josh Sweat and Milton Williams in front of them, you're going to be covered up, and it's going to make you a better player. So, I think that's a pretty good pick for the Eagles. I think it's pretty good value, quite honestly. Yahoo gave him a B+ for the pick. I think Jahad Campbell will be fine. The comp to him is Tremaine Edmonds. Tremaine Edmonds has had a pretty good career in Buffalo and then in Chicago. We know that the Giants selected Abdul Carter at number 3, which was the absolute right move for them when Travis Hunter went number 2.
Easiest
to Jacksonville, not Cleveland. Okay, we haven't really talked about that. But then the trade up from the early part of the second round, Max, to 25 with Houston to get Jackson Dart. Now, a lot of people had a problem with this because it's Jackson Dart over Shedeur Sanders. A lot of people think, well, how can you develop a quarterback when you're about to get fired? Wait a second. You have Tommy Cutlets. You have Russell Wilson. You have Jameis Winston. Where is Jackson Dart going to play? They're going to carry 4 quarterbacks, or Tommy Cutlets ain't going to make the team. And Jackson Dart will be your 3rd quarterback, right?
You would think.
Did you like that move over Shedeur?
The Commanders fan loves that move.
Really? So you would have feared Shedeur more than Jackson Dart?
No. I wouldn't have feared Shedeur. I also just really don't fear Jackson Dart. The Giants do this every 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they will continue to do it for every 4 years until Mr. Mara dies. Because he, much like Jerry Jones, is the real runner of the franchise. Now, Jerry's just more upfront about it because Jerry's the GM.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't know if Mara was as involved until maybe now.
Yeah.
Because now his GM got exposed.
That's true.
So maybe now he's trying to overcorrect and say, look, I gave you guys another opportunity, but I don't fully trust you, so I'm going to be a little bit more heavily involved, fingerprints, asking questions, what have you.
Which is,
he was on the camera, obviously, right next to them. So, I mean, they have to be comfortable with that, or they don't have a job. And that's just the way it is. I mean, when you bleep up, essentially like they did, and again, I understand how bad it looked. I didn't think at the time letting go of Saquon was as horrendous as it would turn out to be. Doubly horrendous was that he went to the Eagles the division.
Mr. Mara said himself, I won't be able to live with myself. Right. And now here we are.
Right. I would say, to me, Jackson Dart's biggest issue is going to be, can he be consistent? Can he be not a roller coaster in big spots? Fourth quarter, down the stretch of a game, 4-minute offense, 2-minute offense. Is he going to be a wild card? And that's what I saw in college.
Yeah. I mean, and we're not going to find out until the 2026 season, unless Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston get injured.
Right. And that's the other thing, too, is, you know, we sit here and talk about Tommy DeVito. I mean, if one of those two guys goes out, remember Russ Wilson got hurt right away in Steelers camp last year.
Yep.
And then he didn't play the first three or four games? Was it
four or six? I think it was six because they were 4-2.
Right. Well, yeah, he definitely didn't play. I'm sorry. I don't think he was even active for the first four.
Yeah.
Maybe he was active I don't think he was active until he actually played.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it.
Yeah, because Justin Fields led them. They were over 500. Right. And then they made the call to go to Russ, and people were clamoring, and there was a bunch of controversy. And now Justin Fields is a New York Jet.
Yeah. Do you remember what happened the last time a New York team took a quarterback that was a Mormon?
Yeah, I do. Well, is he just went to BYU, or is he actually a Mormon? Okay. I do remember. Yeah. Everybody got super high on one big throw he had at his pro day, and then now he is the, third string or backup for the Broncos?
No, now he is actually the backup for Mike McDaniel and Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins.
I forgot about that.
Which is crazy that they spent the
good for Zach.
Yeah.
Gets to hang out in Miami. When Tua gets concussed.
Remember all the buzz about, that might not necessarily be a good thing for my guy Mike McDaniel.
It'll be good for Zach. He gets some playing time out there.
Yeah, and remember all the buzz about Mama Zach?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So the last time a New York team took a quarterback in the first round went swimmingly.
Went great.
Just went great. So this is sure to work, right?
You'd think. They're due. They're so due, Chris.
Anyway, moving on. The Dallas Cowboys, by the way, Yahoo Charles Robinson gave the Giants a D grade. And you know what the comp? Mm. Do you know what the comp they gave him?
Matt Corral.
No. That guy stunk.
Yeah, he did.
It was a guy that was in New York last year.
Oh, no.
That they chose not to re-sign.
Wait.
That's pushing Sam Howell out of a job.
I said this to my friend last night. It's big BC Drew Locke.
Yes, there you go. So back to the final NFC East team, just while we do this for a sec. The Dallas Cowboys, I think, did something that...
They reached.
Yes, they reached. But if you think about it, right?
It wasn't a bad pick, though.
It makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, you need
because
to replace Zach Martin.
Because the offensive line used to be their strength. Why did they not run the ball as effectively last year? A, because they didn't invest in the running back. B, because their offensive line wasn't very good because it's been young and they've been retooling it. And now you said, as you correctly point out, Zach Martin retired. I mean, obviously, Tyron Smith had left for the Jets and then retired. So, again, he's been gone for a year. But you have Tyler Smith now. You have a run on Tyler's. You have Tyler Smith. You have Tyler Booker. You know, again, they are doing essentially what got them to back-to-back-to-back 12-win seasons. Trying to say, okay, got to protect our quarterback, got to run the ball. The quarterback has been hurt significantly twice in his career and missed a large chunk of time. I don't know if just by improving your offensive line, you get to just say, oh, Dak will be great. But I guess the point is, when you've invested what they've invested in Dak financially, or with the Commanders, when you have what you think you have in Jaden Daniels, and they haven't invested significant financial resources yet, but it is coming, and it is probably going to be $70 million a year. When you do that, you say, well, what gives me the best chance to, A, protect my quarterback and protect my most precious asset, but also, how do I relieve pressure from him? Well, dum-dum, it's run the ball. You have to run the ball. Don't listen to all the analytics amigos that hate running the football. Don't. And now you see a renaissance over the last year and a half, 2 years, as teams played more too deep coverage, taking away things over the middle of the field, trying to limit explosives. Oh, all of a sudden, running the football is back. Why? I heard Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny last night. Running the football. Wow, you protect your quarterback. It's easier on the offensive line. It's harder on a defense. Wow, it sounds like somebody been saying that for years. I just wish I knew who it was.
I used to know.
Mm.
And then it kind of fell out of my brain.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, try and do
I'll
some
think
research.
About it. Yeah.
Try and do some research. Get back to me at the end of the show. So anyway, that's the NFC East. Listen, the dumbest team in the draft clearly was the Atlanta Falcons. I don't think anybody can reach that level of dumb.
It's very funny that we're doing this 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I don't think the Giants, quite honestly, doing what they did is anywhere near as dumb as what the Atlanta Falcons did. Because the Falcons, you mentioned last year, but the Falcons, again, I just want to point out, right? They drafted the Georgia kid, pass rusher. They need pass rush help. There's no doubt. Everybody knew it. When they got here in week 16 last year, everyone knew that's how the Commanders would take advantage. They did. Ultimately, they need pass rush help. Got no problem with them taking a pass rusher. The problem that I have is them trading up, what, 20 picks? I think they were 46,
something like that.
And 47, yeah, whatever it was.
Gave up next year's first.
Yeah, to get James Pierce, who, listen, we've talked about James Pierce. Everybody's talked about James Pierce. Everyone likes James Pierce when he puts two hands down in the dirt and he has that bull rush and he's got speed and pop and explosion. The problem is everyone knows that James Pierce and his motor runs hot and cold, or at least it's lukewarm.
Everyone loves James Pierce besides his coaches in Tennessee.
Yeah. And so here's the thing. When you trade what you traded Atlanta after essentially, again, you didn't blow the number 8 overall pick last year because Penix wound up starting for you, and he's going to wind up starting again this year.
And he looks great.
But you certainly blew resources by signing Kirk Cousins. If you were just going to start a rookie quarterback, if things didn't go well, you shouldn't have signed Kirk Cousins. You should have signed Russell Wilson, some jabroni off the street, or somebody. But the Atlanta Falcons, my goodness. I mean, you want to talk about, like, fighting for your job? That's got to be Terry Fontenot, right? I don't know how much power Kyle Smith has down there, but I hope, like hell, this doesn't hurt Kyle Smith's ascent, because he's really smart, and I like him. And his dad was the man. And Kyle's always been good to me. And his dad was the man. And we had a great moment together before that Sunday night game because his dad passed away earlier last year, and that was tough, obviously, on him. But that was tough on me because I was really close with A.J. Smith. Yeah, that sucked. But, yeah, I just can't I mean, it's one thing to be aggressive. I think the Giants were aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you like Jackson Dart or not, one thing to be aggressive. It's another thing to be reckless. Does that rise to reckless? I think it does.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, trading your first-round pick for a guy who, like, we don't know if he loves football, like, and you're taking him in the first round, that's the dumbest decision.
I bet you Raheem Morris is sitting there saying, look, I can get this guy, even if he doesn't love football, I can get this guy to 12 sacks.
Good luck.
With his speed and athleticism off the edge, because I'm Raheem Morris.
Good luck, Raheem.
All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, the curious case, or not so curious case, of Shedeur Sanders next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Rooster, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
How would you have dealt with all the scrutiny if you did, in fact, force Tom Wilson to miss a game, or if not multiple games?
Now, why do you have to go here?
Listen, I am but a vessel.
Mad Max, I thought you cared about me as a person.
I do very much, which is why I wanted to know how you would have dealt with it. I would have had to be your rock, Chris.
Do you think that I was trying to intentionally hurt?
Heavens no.
Tommy?
No, it's just, it's very much in like the realm of possibility for you to be clumsy enough that it would happen. And with your luck, I could see it taking him out for a game or two.
I got to be
Fortunately,
honest.
Fortunately, it didn't.
I got to be honest with you. I am so thankful that that did not happen.
I am too.
I will never, ever, never mind a cup of soup, a hot cup of coffee, a hot cup of tea. I just will not do that ever again. What was wrong with me? Especially when I knew the lid was cracked.
Oh.
Because it cracked and spilled on my hand, and hot liquid, outside of a Capitals locker room.
I hope that there's a big stain on the carpet now that's just there forever.
I mean, listen, I'm, again, very thankful that nothing happened.
So are all the Caps fans
out there.
To my guy,
Tom Wilson. Right? I mean, Tommy's been great to me, great to my son, great to the Capitals community. I would have been, oh my God.
Inconsolable would have been the right word?
I mean, they would have probably suspended me like dangling across M Street and just let
from the art gallery.
Just let the entire city of D.C. come in with a bat and just thinking I'm a pinata.
I would have stopped them if they had a bat. I would have given them a bag of tomatoes.
Oh, thanks.
It would have been non-lethal. It would have left a couple of bruises, but you'd have been fine.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's my story. I can't wait to tell Sam Cosmi that story tomorrow morning.
Please do.
I'm going to be hanging out with Sam Cosmi and Blair Cosmi, his wife.
Yeah, ask him how he enjoyed that game too, by the way.
I will. At the Best Buddies Friendship Walk tomorrow on the National Mall. Please come and join us. You can still register. You can still donate. You can still come down. Again, register, donate. We need you to do that so that you can meet Sam, take a picture with him, get an autograph, hang out with him, maybe do the walk with him. For Best Buddies, to support those with IDD issues and needs, the families, so that we can run our programs all year long, which are absolutely free. Go to bestbuddiesfriendshipwalk.org, bestbuddiesfriendshipwalk.org. Go to the Team 980 page. You got to do the search. You got to, my guy David, you know, did it earlier this week. We really need you. And what else can I say? I mean, I mentioned this on the Junkies earlier today that Sam will be there. Sam's great. And if you want to ask him about Josh Connerly, if you want to ask him about his knee.
Whoever the Commanders pick tonight.
Yeah, whoever the Commanders pick at 61. Whatever. Sam will be there, but you got to register and you got to donate. Whatever it is, but we need you to, you know, again, it's charity, right? All the programs are free, so we need help from the community. bestbuddiesfriendshipwalk.org, and go to the Team 980 page, and you can do that. And it's all over my social media. Again, and you
know, it starts early tomorrow.
Yeah, it starts early tomorrow morning. So come and join us. But you know, it's going to be a fun day, as it always is. This is my third consecutive year doing that. Eileen Whalen from ABC7 in the morning is our MC.
Nice.
I'm going to be just perusing around and
just sauntering.
I think I was told that I. I am Sam's personal security guard.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm going to lead...
keep people away from his knee, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to lead him into the pile as a good lead fullback, as Kyle Juszczyk.
There you go.
Right? Or Patrick Ricard. Right? There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So come and join us. Real quickly, Deion Sanders, daddy. He's called out Dan Orlovsky, apparently.
Who hasn't at this point?
Over Shador Sanders' slide. So, we talked about this a lot yesterday. There was all sorts of buzz. Not that Shador Sanders was not going to the Giants at three. I think anybody with half a brain knew that. But that the Giants didn't like Shador Sanders as much as people thought. And that they prefer Jackson Dart. And what do you know? That's what happened. But the other big caveat to this was, oh, by the way, Shador ain't going to Pittsburgh. Shador ain't going anywhere tonight. He's not getting drafted. Diana Rossini had that. Graziano had that. I don't know who else had that, but that was the buzz, the anticipation. That was the word.
Apparently Skip Bayless didn't, because I'm reading a tweet right now that says, Tennessee just made a monumental mistake not taking Shador Sanders.
Well, I mean, first of all, Skip Bayless is a walking buffoon. So let's start with that.
Sure.
So Orlovsky yesterday on Twitter, in addition to what he said on ESPN, said, quote, if Shador doesn't go early tonight, plays like these, I believe will be a reason why and what he will have to work on. Right. And it was, you know, basically, you know, one of Shador Sanders' plays. I can't pull up the video right now. But somebody said on Twitter, on X, quote, turned into a hater. Hate to see it, man. So Daddy Deion then quote tweeted the post and stated, quote, yes, he did. Wow. Now, Orlovsky has been supportive of Shador Sanders. And in this exchange, he responded to the fan in question and stated how it's his job to point out the good and the bad. He said, quote, I've said endlessly, I like Shador. I've done a flaws tape for all the top quarterbacks every year. Same this year. And it goes on and on and on. I just don't understand you people. How when you criticize somebody or point out a flaw or an area of struggle, how you all automatically think the person doing that is a hater. And is trying to ruin somebody's career. It's called analysis. It's called, as long as it's reasonable, it's called reasonable criticism. And for you guys to think that it has anything to do with Shador Sanders and the color of his skin, or that people are hating on Shador Sanders, as opposed to people who don't love Shador Sanders. Well, guess what? You know who doesn't love Shador Sanders? Love him enough to draft him in the first round.
Like 30 NFL GMs?
Mm-hmm. So they must all be haters! Trending alert time. Mad Max, are you a salad fan? Or are you anti-salad?
An anti-salad, a good Caesar always hits.
Mm-hmm. So last night, went to Command Land in Ashburn, got made fun of there.
Ugh, as per usual.
Yep. They didn't understand that I'm there to provide entertainment and to provide the best football analysis in planet Earth.
You're versatile, if nothing else.
Exactly. And they had paisanos
Ooh.
Delivered to the media. They feed the media now regularly all the time under Josh Harris.
As opposed to.
But on the draft, even under that other guy, they used to feed the media all 3 days.
Oh.
Paisano's is usually the Thursday night fare. That's what it was. So when I walked in, there was just boxes and boxes and boxes of Paisano's pizza, right? Great.
Where's my pizza then?
Well, because, you know, remember, as Anthony said, because you're oversized, you would be a goaltender. Because I'm an oversized gentleman, generally speaking, it's not a good look if you hike a bunch of food from the media.
I suppose.
Even though it's probably in the trash right now.
Not going anywhere.
They probably didn't put it in the refrigerator. But what I did manage to salvage and rescue is a Caesar salad.
Nice.
With a few, small amount, of buffalo chicken bites, boneless Ooh. Buffalo chicken bites, some croutons, some feta cheese. And Paisano's doesn't have Caesar dressing, but they have house dressing.
Okay. You got a whole bottle there.
Yeah, which is so I did take that.
Well.
But it's very similar
to Caesar. It's like taking the Tabasco from Chipotle.
You're still doing that.
It's how I say it. Let's not rehash this. Paisanos.
Chipotle. Did you know Chipotle is an NHL sponsor?
I wish AMAC was here.
Chipotle. Anyway, thanks to Paisanos for feeding us last night. I've been just kind of very slowly working on this salad.
Snoshing, nibbling.
I'm sure most people would be like, ew, that's gross. How could you have a salad out all day? All right. Maybe it is a little bit gross, but it tastes fine. Nobody's messed with it. I keep putting the cover on it, right? Most of the time. It's fine. Love salad. Salad is like salad.
It's refreshing.
Salad and soup are becoming by far my two favorite things in the world to eat.
I think once you hit a certain age, that happens to a lot of people.
What you're saying is I'm an old bastard.
Listen, my dad's doing the same thing. So it's happening in multiple aspects of my multiple areas of my life.
Uh-huh. So, do you make fun of your dad too?
No, just like I don't make fun of you for eating a salad.
I think you you got mad at me for teasing about Chipotle.
That's different. I'm also not mad. It's just we've had this argument before. And we'll have it probably till the end of time.
You know, Mad Max, arguments aren't just one-time deals.
It's true.
They are continuing.
I've lived with women before. Sorry, I thought that would be funny.
Yeah, I have too. That's why I'm divorced.
Well.
Anyway, we won't go there.
10 minutes left in the show.
Listen. I just put something up. I said, nobody in big capital letters hates Shador Sanders. Nobody. Again, in big capital letters.
Not nobody.
Nobody with half a brain hates Shador Sanders. Do you hate Shador Sanders?
I do not hate Shador Sanders. There are people out there who hate Deion and by extension, hate Shador.
That's a fair point that I didn't necessarily think of.
Mm-hmm.
When I say nobody or everybody,
nobody whose opinion matters.
Right. In general, that's what I'm talking about.
Sure.
But I even think a lot of the numbnut fans don't hate Shador Sanders.
Yeah. I think he's fine.
They may not like him. He may not be like their cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
He may not be their favorite. He may not be. But I would be willing to bet, I don't know, I don't have any data on this, that based on every time that I've tweeted about him, in the past, and especially one was reminded of me this morning. Somebody sent it to me. I forget who. Maybe Boston DG. I can't remember who it was. Sent me a tweet that I tweeted back in like early December when he was playing at Arrowhead Stadium against Kansas, and he was terrible. And he threw an awful interception.
Yeah, I remember.
And I mean, I got barraged. Like, you know, and I said, I know we're not allowed to criticize. I know we're not allowed, you know, like, so I was clearly on the defensive right away. I was clearly trying to set the tempo that we're not allowed to criticize Shador Sanders. Just like we're not allowed to criticize Deion Sanders. Why? Because Deion Sanders is such a control freak. He'll see to it that your media pass, badge, whatever, gets restricted. or you don't get to ask questions, or you don't get answers, or you don't get help from the Colorado Buffaloes, and specifically from him. And listen, I understand. Nobody wants to get criticized. I don't like it. You don't like it. Mad Max, if I told you you did a crappy job today, would you like that?
I'd tell you you were wrong.
Exactly. But if I told you that, you wouldn't like it either, right? Nobody likes to get criticized.
If you did it, it would be, I'd think you were messing with me. Now, if CK did it, I would.
Would you tell him to go kick all the rocks?
Depends on how I felt I did that day. Uh-huh. If it was today, yeah, I would, because I think I did a pretty damn good job.
Oh, wow. I think you should march over there at 4:02 and tell him to go kick all the rocks.
No, he's been nothing but nice to me.
Oh, okay. Well, what if he wasn't? What if I told him?
Well, then I'd have
some told
words.
Him via text that you did a horrible job?
He would know that that wasn't true.
Anyway, nobody likes criticism. If you can't tell, we don't do a very serious show all the time around here.
Never.
There's enough of that. There's enough of that.
Too much of that around here, in
Too
my opinion.
Too much of that around here, in my opinion. We like to have fun. But anyway, nobody likes to get criticized. Nobody. But just because you get criticized, guys, does not mean that you're getting hated on. That doesn't mean Dan Orlovsky is a hater.
Criticism and hate.
And what in the world is Deion Sanders doing fueling that? Hey, Daddy Deion, worry about your damn team. Worry about your son. Don't be so caught up in the Twitterati and in this cycle of doom, in this cesspool of hell known as social media and specifically X/Twitter, that you are doing not only yourself a disservice, not only Dan Orlovsky a disservice, you are doing every coach, every player, every team, every school, every everything, Hall of Famer, you are doing them a disservice. Why? Because you took a reasonable criticism and said, yeah, that guy's a hater. Which then says to a bunch of 9-to-5 ham and egg knuckleheads out there, Dan Orlovsky is so mean. He's so mean. He's such a beep. And what's going to happen to Dan Orlovsky's Twitter timeline, X timeline, whatever? Well, we know. But you know what might also happen? Dan Orlovsky might have somebody, I don't know, show up at his house and threaten his family. Dan Orlovsky might have to look over both shoulders to make sure that somebody's not following him. Because that's how sick of a society we become. That's how rabid and that's how hateful of a society we become. You can't even reasonably criticize anybody. Reasonably criticize anybody without being called a hater, without being referred to as a monger, without people going, oh, that Dan Orlovsky, he's a piece of... I'll show him. When he walks out the door in Bristol, when he goes over to the hotel across the street, I'm going to make him feel the wrath. And if you don't think that could happen, could, not will, could, you're crazy. You're not paying attention. You're not paying attention. And it sucks. It absolutely sucks. Shador Sanders doesn't suck. Nobody's hating Shador Sanders. And you shouldn't be hating Deion Sanders. But it's more than fair to criticize Deion Sanders for what he said, for how he's handled things. And it is more than fair to criticize Shador Sanders because he's not an elite prospect, period. And the NFL just doubled down and proved it over and over and over and over again. Some people can't handle the truth on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, Craig Hoffman coming up next. Caps tonight. 7 o'clock game 3. NFL draft, 7 o'clock round 2. Nats and the Mets right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, beginning at 6:15 for the pregame. 6:45, the first pitch, Juan Soto back. Time now. You know what time it is, right? Don't you? Oh, of course you do. This is an extension, sort of what we've been talking about. Not necessarily Shedeur Sanders, but you might remember a famous quarterback who flopped miserably here in Washington named Robert Griffin III, right?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah. He was fired from ESPN.
Because
he's had a lot of weird, corny things. Hired just the other day by Fox to be their number 2 college football analyst. So all of a sudden, Robbie is riding high. Well, today on X, he said, quote, "The New York Giants have no idea what they are doing at quarterback." He says he loves Jackson Dart's game, but he hates the situation that has unfolded due to the pick. And he goes on to basically say the Giants signed Russell Wilson. They also, of course, signed Jameis Winston. They have Tommy Cutlets and now Jackson Dart. He said, when a fan asked why Griffin is panning the idea of Dart learning under Wilson, a tactic that many teams have had, he referenced the perceived hot seat of the coach and the general manager. He said, because, quote, this coaching staff and front office might not have more than 8 games this year. He said, they have to win now. That's why they brought in Russell and Jameis. Jackson won't get the reps he needs to sit and learn in this situation. Now, this seems like a reasonable sports take, right? Reasonable.
Sure.
Except Robert Griffin III just wants to point out only when teams in his mind and media in his mind do somebody that he likes wrong. Anytime anybody criticizes Lamar Jackson, the world is coming to an end in Robert Griffin's mind. And now the same thing. You can't pick and choose only who you defend and who you criticize based on whatever silly narrative, and I think you might know where I'm heading with this, is going on in that mind of yours, Roberto. If you don't know, you probably don't know. But that's okay. We'll leave it there, and we'll give you something to think about over the weekend. Back Monday at 1. Craig's next. Thanks to Mad Max. Thanks to you. Thanks to Joe B. We'll see you on Monday. Enjoy the